Hello, I'm Richard Kilgariff. Welcome to Bokomi. The OMI in Bokomi, as you know, stands for the original memorable insights that we find when we connect with the world's most wanted minds in business, science, technology, arts, and culture. In this episode...
Hi, I'm Thomas Eriksson, author of Surrounded by Psychopaths, and this is my OMI for Bokomi.
We meet the psychopaths lurking in the shadows of work and life, waiting to exploit your weaknesses to get exactly what they want.
A psychopath is somebody who looks like you, talks like you, walks like you, but isn't like you at all. Well, some people say that psychopaths rule the world. I don't know. But we have a lot of psychopaths on high positions in governments, in the military, in all kinds of organizations. They are there because they strive for power. They like to be on top of things.
Thomas Eriksson's book, Surrounded by Idiots, sold 2.5 million copies in 43 languages. In it, the Swedish behavioral expert described four types of personality: red, yellow, green, and blue, to explain why and how we see ourselves and each other. Thomas's follow-up book, Surrounded by Psychopaths, How to Protect Yourself from Being Manipulated and Exploited in Business and Life, takes a darker turn to expose the behavior of people who dismantle and destroy for pleasure, and who must be recognized and avoided at all costs.
You can reveal them and make everybody see that they are the psychopath. Let's say that you succeed. They will crush you. They will come back and they will try to crush you. If they are violent types, they will try to actually hurt you physically. So I would say walk away. That's the only thing I know that works.
Thomas, welcome to Bokomi.
Thank you so much.
Now, Surrounded by Psychopaths has a slightly darker tinge to it than Surrounded by Idiots. Was that because, I think, reading into what you say in the book, that you were worried that people were abusing the knowledge and the power, really, of the system that you described in Surrounded by Idiots?
That is actually correct. I wrote that book about communication. I used the DISC model as a tool, as an example of how you could sort of integrate a more efficient communication in your daily life. And people send me emails and called me and said, this is great stuff. We can really use this. But some people actually approached me and said, okay, good examples, good tool. How can I use this in order to use other people? And some people were really, they didn't hide their purpose. And that got me thinking, some people will use this as a manipulative tool, which was not my intention at all. So then I started to investigate, what about manipulation? How does this work? And then I stumbled backwards straight into psychopathy, which was a really scary topic, I have to say. I learned so much things that I sometimes don't want to know, if you know what I mean.
You're delving into the darker side of human nature. Yeah, you referenced two people who've also been on the Bokomi podcast before, Kevin Dutton and John Ronson. And I was heartened to read and to hear from them that if you're worried about being a psychopath, then you're not a psychopath.
Exactly. They don't think like that at all. So that's a good sign, actually.
So how do we reckon? Well, let's start off with some basic definitions, as you found, because you've done all the research into the book. What is a psychopath?
A psychopath is somebody who looks like you, talks like you, walks like you, but isn't like you at all. It's people who are usually charming, good with words, but have this bit of a, let's call it a grandiose self-image. They are pathological liars. They can be very manipulative, impulsive, take risks all the time. They don't take responsibility for things. They don't feel like you and I do. They have no empathy. They understand other people. But understanding and feeling is not the same thing. So they think that the rest of the world is just a smorgasbord for them to just, you know, take what they need and you know, sort of use the rest of us. It's a term, psychopath is a term that a lot of people say, no, you are exaggerating. People can't be like that because it doesn't feel normal. But the case is, it isn't normal. It's psychopathy. And that is really, really special.
And you stress throughout the book, as you do in Surrounded by Idiots, that the importance of self-awareness, of knowing yourself in order to recognize the personality types in other people and how you respond to those people in a positive way, and also in the more dangerous way with psychopaths. But do you ever get any pushback from people saying that they're made of multitudes, that they're a rainbow of colors in their personality type?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the four colors, red, yellow, green, and blue, that's just the fundamentals. And I receive that feedback and sometimes criticism from people saying, okay, that has to be more than four personality types, right? And I usually say, but of course, I never said anything else. But you have to understand the fundamentals. It's like baking a cake. You need some eggs, you need some milk, you need some butter and so on. But you can mix them in very different ways. And, you know, when it comes to personalities or behavioral types, which is what this profile really shows, you can mix anything in any way you like. And people are different, but you need to understand the fundamentals. Some people are introvert. Some people are extrovert. That's just the way it is. So it's just a sort of framework for a better understanding.
And I don't want you to relive a bad experience, but you've got a personal experience of psychopathy, haven't you? And that's part of the inspiration behind the book. Do you mind talking about that?
Absolutely. I started as a thriller author, actually. Some 9 years ago, I released my first thriller. And this young woman contacted me. She reached out to me via email and said she wanted to write books as well. And I was sort of into this and fascinated by my first released book. So I gave her some advice. And then she got back to me again and again, and I refused to answer because I said, okay, let's have a contact with my readers. That is, of course, a good thing, but I can't get to know everybody. And when I refused to answer, she turned 180 degrees and started to contact my then, let's call it fiancé then, and telling her that we had a relationship. And then she started to stalk me, actually, in a really, really horrible way, and I had to call the police, and they investigated and said, this is the they sort of brought it in for questioning, and they said, this is the best liar we have ever met. They said, we know she's lying because we have the proofs here, but we can't nail her for, we can't put it on her because she looks so trustworthy. And they were fascinated, and that actually was it was a really terrible experience for me, to be honest, but I survived it, and
well, luckily, but not without a lot of damage, collateral damage to your relationships, though.
True, the relationship ended because it started. That is what psychopaths actually do; they manipulate people. So my the woman I was living with, she got to be really jealous because she said you have to know this woman in some way. Why would she contact you otherwise? And I said, I can't prove something I didn't do, which is always a problem, of course. It hurt us. Yes, it did.
It is that collateral damage. You describe it incredibly well in the book, how it's not just you and the psychopath that's been affected. It's the people in your sphere of influence, in your family or your work colleagues. I've got a personal experience of this, that reading your book really helped me put it into perspective. I had an experience of now knowing that this person must have been a psychopath working in corporate life, who managed to get into, by using the techniques that you and the behaviors that you describe, got close to different personality types. You know, some were red, some were blue or green in this corporate life, mm. and turned us all against each other. And he managed to play on everybody else's weaknesses. Now, he was found out in the end and was asked to leave, but not without doing a lot of damage to those relationships. How can we pick up? Let's say we've had a psychopath in our midst at work and the damage is done. How do we recover after it?
You know, Richard, that's a really, really good question. How do we recover afterwards? The most common question I get is usually, what can you do about it if you discover that you are working with a psychopath or living with a psychopath? Or, I mean, let's face it, a lot of people are actually married to psychopaths, usually women, because psychopaths are usually male for some reason, nature, I guess. But the most common question is, what can we do? And the answer is, you can't do anything because you can never treat them, you can't cure them, you can't fix them, so to speak. So you just have to live with them or walk away. And let's say that you actually manage to walk away. Let's say that you actually can do that. That might be dangerous as well, because they can be very, very vengeful, so to speak. They like to get back at you and hurt you, because you're just a usable asset, actually. You can throw away. I would say, I don't know if the, I'm not a psychologist, I have to say, so I pointed out, but I don't know how you, usually people who have experienced psychopaths or sociopaths or narcissists for that matter, they get post-traumatic stress disorder. That's just the way it is. So they probably need some kind of psychiatrical treatment. They can usually not sort of cure themselves on their own. They have to get some help, I would say, by some specialist who can help them to understand it was not your fault. You are a victim, even though the psychopath might have convinced you that you are a stupid, fool, idiot, you know, nothing good comes from you, you're absolutely worth nothing. You have to get some help to realize it is not about you, it's about the psychopath. I think that's the starter. Take some professional help, and all psychologists doesn't understand this. I know this woman very, very well, and she went to this, I think it was, what's it called in English?
Therapist?
Some sort of therapy, anyway. And the therapist, she said, well, maybe we should bring him in and talk to him and ask him how he feels. She did. Exactly. Although it's not funny, because that's just impossible. The psychopath doesn't care. He doesn't want to go to the therapy, you know? You can't bring us. Usually people say, okay, in Sweden, many years ago, they said, calling somebody a psychopath, that's very stigmatizing. We shouldn't do that. We should call them something else. We're in very much need of care, they found out, which was really stupid, because psychopaths feel no guilt, no remorse, no nothing, and they cannot be treated with therapy, actually, because it only made them worse. I mean, let's imagine you have a wolf in your neighborhood, really dangerous, big, strong wolf, right? And then you gather up some sheep, you knock on his door and say, hey, Mr. Wolf, we have this proposal for you. We would like to fund some therapy for you. Could you please help us? Because we need you to be, you know, less wolfy, so to speak. Now, why would he do that? He's on the top of the world, on top of the food chain. We are all usable assets. They don't care. They don't give a damn about us. They don't. And we need to understand this. If you are a victim of a psychopath, you need to understand you should never, ever blame yourself, but you might need some help
in dealing with it. Yeah. And but in that idea of blame, collective blame, we all maybe are guilty of following psychopaths sometimes. I mean, the traits you describe in terms of consistent lying for your own ends, not worrying or keeping completely calm when you're proved to be lying. It sounds like some of the people leading the Western world at the moment. Do we deserve the leaders we get? How do we deal collectively with psychopaths?
Oh, that is such a good and important question. How much time do we have? Well, the thing is, this is just a personal, really, my own point of view. We have the leaders we deserve. We voted them into the parliament or in the government or wherever. But the thing is this, psychopaths are so good at sounding like they're gonna save us. I mean, Hitler was a psychopath. He sort of won the German people's confidence. Afterwards, historically wise, I mean, how could he do that? Because he said what they wanted to hear. And then he sort of tweaked himself a little bit and then turned the knob around a little bit more. And that's what they do. I mean, if you sit down with a psychopath, he will not start saying, I will fool you, I will manipulate you so you wish you were dead. He doesn't start there, you know. The leaders, they are charming and they are you know, positive and good with words and everything. That's just the way it is. Do we have to accept the fact that, well, some people say that psychopaths rule the world. I don't know. But we have a lot of psychopaths on high positions in governments, in the military, in all kinds of organizations. They are there because they strive for power. They like to be on top of things. And they have some good traits to put them there, because they are really, you know, let's say, They are very bold, you know, and they don't feel stressed like you and I do. They can take tough decisions, you know. So some of these traits helps them to put them on top, you know. If they are intelligent, they can go how as far as possible. But if you have a stupid psychopath, he will probably end up in jail because he knocked somebody on the head and took his watch and they sort of put him behind bars. An intelligent psychopath, he can end up at, you know, Fortune 500.
The psychopath, individually or collectively, is very good at playing to our weaknesses and turning them against us and then making us think it's our fault. Well, your example, the example I alluded to, eventually the psychopath gets found out. I mean, I've confronted someone who, you know, we would might in this context call a psychopath. And their reaction is either disbelief. And also, as if you're a polite person like I try to be, you kind of then feel bad about confronting them, you know, even asking them why they're doing something. And if they know how to press your buttons, they'll come back at you with the response that they know will shut you down. It's really interesting. But eventually they get found out. I suppose the hope throughout the book and the hope that we have in the world is that eventually, because ultimately human nature errs on the good, we would like to think, they get found out, don't they? But not after causing collateral damage. How common are psychopaths in our midst? Surely they're really rare.
Of course they are rare. I mean, the title of the book, Surrounded by Psychopaths, that's just a sort of, it's a sequel to Surrounded by Idiots. So that's why it's called that. We are not surrounded by psychopaths, but there are more psychopaths around than you might think. What usually people think is, when I say, well, you know, this psychopath, oh, they think this Hannibal Lecter kind of guy, you know, Charles Manson, these sort of crazy people. Sure, they're psychopaths. Usually psychopaths are not behind bars. Imprisoned are in the Western world, they say, and Kevin Dutton might have agreed with this, that about 25% of people behind bars are usually clinical psychopaths. In the population in general, it differs depending on who you're asking. In Sweden, they are always a bit, you know, low here on in the numbers. They say, oh, like, we usually think it's about 1%. Robert D. Hare, who is the most experienced psychopath researcher and psychologist in the world, a Canadian guy, he says, well, it's between 2 and 4%. So who knows? But let's say it's 2%. It's too many. It's actually, how many people are we now? 8 billion, is it? 9? 8 billion? That's 160 million psychopaths. That's a lot. A lot of people walking around doing bad things, you know, and not taking responsibility for anything. So usually there's more of them than we need. When it comes to leadership and management, people say, and I thought this was just some cool headline in some tabloid magazine saying, oh, well, about 10% of the managers are psychopaths. But it seems that number is rather correct, actually. And the higher up in the hierarchy you get, the more psychopaths you will actually meet, which is scary as hell, I would say.
Because they're arch manipulators.
Yeah, that's why they are there. This is a fictional example. But anyways, one of the world's most followed and appreciated and admired psychopaths. I have an idea who that might be. I would say that could be James Bond.
Go on.
I mean, think about it. He's charming. He's good with words. He seems to have this shallow emotional life, you know. He's a serial killer. He's a murderer. And he feels no stress. He can, you know, balance on the top of the Eiffel Tower, feeling absolutely nothing. He's on the moon making jokes, you know, and people are pointing guns at him and he tells you funny stories. But he's a good guy. He's on our side. So we don't see him as a psychopath. And he's a womanizer. He's very promiscuous and all these things, lying all the time, because that's who he is. But we like him, right? We feel charmed by him. And consider him running for presidency, you know, somewhere, or he wants to be, you know, your new prime minister or anything. That's going to be a threat to all of us, right? I'm speculating, I know this, but we have to consider it, because psychopaths don't look like psychopaths. They don't look like Jack Nicholson in the cuckoo's nest, you know. They look like you and I. You can't see a person as a psychopath. You need to pay attention and observe him for maybe many, many months and look for the pattern in his behavior. That's the only way you can see, is this a psychopath? Somebody is constantly saying one thing but doing something else. We all do this from time to time, but somebody who is constantly doing this, but you have to pay attention. It's almost taking notes, you know. Some conversations you wish that you had recorded so you can listen to it afterwards and say, what was actually said here?
There's a lot of Nassim Taleb's book, you know, Skin in the Game. I thought of that book while I was reading yours. When, you know, if you really want to know or understand someone, look at their motives and look at their actions. Don't listen to what they say. And I think that's really good guidance for, you know, trying to spot a psychopath as well. Do you mind if I just read something from your book? Just a short paragraph on spotting a psychopath. And you say, I've seen psychopaths look people in the eye and lie straight to their face without so much as blinking. Even when everybody, including the psychopath, knows that the lie has gone too far, the psychopath still doesn't stop. They won't admit anything. They keep going until they've confused everybody. And in the end, nobody knows what to believe. It would be impressive if it weren't so vile. Kind of how we all feel today, isn't it, when we're watching debates on TV.
I know what you're getting at. Yeah. I know it's some things we hear from, well, let's say some places in the world, we when we read about it, it's hard to wrap your head around it. Is this possible? Did this really happen like that? Still, so many people say, wow, that's our hero. You know, who's crazy here? I don't know. But it's such a good thing, because if you hear the siren, let's say you're on the highway in your car and you hear the sirens, right? You immediately check your seatbelt and, you know, and was I speeding? Oh, no, I can't believe I'm getting pulled over. The pulse is going up and everything. But, you know, when the same thing happens to a psychopath, he feels nothing. He could have had a dead body in the trunk. He doesn't care, you know? And that's what's so fascinating. This is about the brain functioning. This is about the emotional center in the brain, the amygdala, which is underdeveloped. So they don't feel it. Sometimes these things are good. We need leaders who can be pragmatic, you know, and task-oriented and, you know, and distance themselves from too much emotions and so on. But it can go too far. And it's so hard to see when did he or she, it's usually a he, obviously, but when did he actually cross the line and became this manipulator?
Can we all cross the line? Because in your, you know, in the DISC system, the red, yellow, green, blue system of personality types, lots of people associate some of the more aggressive tendencies and the self-centered tendencies of the red type to be psychopathic. But the way you, obviously you can define them or differentiate them is that most of the personality types that aren't psychopaths understand consequences, the consequences of their actions, and they care about the consequences of their actions in some way. But can we become psychopaths? Are we born psychopaths? Or if I'm a red personality type, should I watch out that I don't tip over into psychopathy?
Well, to begin with, these are two totally different things. The DISC system, the color system, that's just a method to sort of measure, well, if I may call it, normal behaviors. The reds who are task-oriented and really extrovert, I mean, really, really quick, people are often pointing at them saying, oh, that bloody psychopath, you know, because he yelled at me and then he asked me if I would like to go for lunch, because he's task-oriented and he's looking for results and so on. He don't hate you, but I need you to sort of speed up a little bit. But it's two different things. You need to understand, if you observe somebody and think that that's a psychopath, look, try to figure out the purpose behind the action. What was the thought behind it? I don't think a red person should be afraid of being, let's say, being a psychopath, because you don't develop into psychopathy. I can explain this with three sentences, but actually they should consider if they might be looked upon as psychopaths, because people who don't understand red behavior or yellow behavior, who is usually known for a bit of a manipulative ways, you know, because, and look at me, it's the me culture. That's the yellow one. And the green ones, who is nodding his head and then stabbing you in the back because he's afraid of conflicts. Or the blue one, who looks like a serial killer because he's so stone-faced all the time. You know, people have told me the most fascinating stories. That has to be the psychopath. But we can't measure psychopathy in that tool, so to speak. But you should also always understand that it depends on from where you are looking. I have heard red people calling the greens psychopaths, because they don't understand it. It feels strange when I say that, this. I understand that. But all of this includes that you need a better understanding. If you understand psychopathy, if you understand psychopathic traits, then you can sort of sort them out and see who's red and who's a psychopath. The red person is goal-oriented and can be really tough in a really harsh conversations. And, you know, he will push you and push you and push you. But he will also applaud you when you succeed. The psychopath will do the same thing, except he will take all the credit for what you did. So you need to see the whole spectrum, and you need to see the pattern within them, actually. Red people are usually really honest. That's why they are so hard to be around for some people, because they say what they think. Psychopaths don't do this. They say what they think is best to say at this moment.
And once we've identified the psychopath, you've got some fantastic coping strategies in the book. It's almost an anti-psychopath manual. If someone thinks they've identified a psychopath today, if a listener thinks they know one, and they, what should they do? Is the best thing to confront a psychopath, or is it just to avoid them and run away?
Walk away. I know this is not what people like to hear. They would like to say, okay, how can I do this? How can I win? How can I sort of be in charge of the situation? Well, you can't. It's impossible. The mouse can never win over the cat. It's impossible by nature. Don't even try it, because they will try to get back at you, and they will seek revenge. And that might hurt you even worse. You don't want to be in the way of an angry psychopath. I know how this sounds when I say it. I understand it feels like, oh, now he's going too far. It can't be that bad. Yes, it can. I have seen it too many times amongst friends. My wife has experienced this from too close distance, I would say. I have cleaned up the mess within a couple of organizations after they succeeded in kicking the psychopath out. And it's ugly. It's really ugly. You don't want to be in their way. There's no way we can do something about it. You can reveal them and make everybody see that they are the psychopath. Let's say that you succeed. They will crush you. They will come back and they will try to crush you. If they are violent types, they will try to actually hurt you physically. So I would say walk away. That's the only thing I know that works.
Can you not manipulate a psychopath in any way?
Is it a yes or no question?
I'm just thinking.
I really don't. I don't see the point, because he's an expert. It's like going up against Mike Tyson, and you're a beginner. You know the basic punches, but he's Mike Tyson. Why would you ever go in the same ring as Mike Tyson? I wouldn't recommend it, to be honest. I can't put it in any
no
more clear words than that, actually. Don't walk away. You will actually recover and make yourself a good life somewhere else. If it is your fiance, move. If it is your husband, try to get a divorce. If it is your boss, change job. But walk away. You can never win over the psychopath unless you can put him behind bars.
Or vote them out. Life.
Otherwise, he will get out. Yeah. That is just the way. I'm so sorry. Psychopath has been around as long as humankind has been on the planet. That's just the way it is. We could do as the Inuits did, you know, a bit of piece of ice, what's called ice flake, no, it's
ice flow,
yes, and said bye bye, you know, you don't belong here, bye bye, and send them out to sea, you know, full of absolutely nothing, and off he goes.
So we can go and manipulate the fish.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's a positive note to end on. Thomas Erickson, thank you for sharing your OMI with Bukomi today.
Thank you so much.
Thomas's book, Surrounded by Psychopaths, How to Protect Yourself from Being Manipulated and Exploited in Business and in Life, is available to buy now. Just follow the link in the description of the podcast. If you'd like to be the first to hear and meet the most wanted minds behind the smartest new nonfiction, sign up to our monthly most wanted email at bukomi.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, and all good podcast platforms. I'm Rich Kilgariff. Stay safe and remember, love many, trust few, always paddle your own canoe. Bye for now.